Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Hi everyone, I'm Adi, and today I'll share with you my thoughts on chain abstractions and the associated risks. So a quick refresher, what is chain abstraction and its main goal? So the idea here is to provide a user experience that is all about enabling users to use applications without having to interact directly with bridges or chains. So what can possibly go wrong here? This is a very simple example where poor implementation of abstraction led to a user losing some funds due to slippage. What happened here is that a user tried to bridge from DGEN chain back to base, and because the UI was using an external bridge instead of a canonical one, it first had to slap funds to ETH, and this is where things went wrong. So the user incurred an 87% slippage. And the thing is that this wouldn't have happened if a canonical bridge was used, or maybe if the user was informed that an external bridge is used, or if they had the option to choose. So this example is trying to show the pitfalls of account abstraction, chain abstraction when implemented on the wrong level. So how can we do it better? There is this example of an intent-based protocol, and there are lots of different designs. But the idea here is that part of the risks are moved away from the user. So here we have this entity called solver that basically, once the user deposits funds, the solver almost immediately provides the funds to them on the destination chain. The idea here is that the user still has to trust the solver to not censor them and the escrow smart contract on the source chain. But apart from this, they don't have to care about finality and settlement, because those are risks that the solver is taking instead of them. And there is this concept of chain abstracted balances. This is the third example. The thing here is that if the user only sees one total balance that they have across all chains, they might not realize that, for example, most of their funds are on a high-risk chain. And this is because the assets that you have inherit all the risks of their underlying assets, which depend on the bridges and the chains that were used. This is an example with Ape on ApeChain, but there are lots of different examples. And here, the token that is on ApeChain is basically inheriting security from the canonical bridge as well as layer zero. So the point that I want to make is that, first of all, if there are any risks where the user can that can still affect the user and they can potentially lose funds, they should be shown to the user. They should not be hidden. And in the example with the chain abstracted balances, I believe that at this stage, we are not ready to hide the risks just because most of the chains are not secure enough. So chain abstraction should not be risk abstraction in a sense where there are risks that the user is not protected from, and they are not aware of them, and they might cause funds to get stolen or lost. But chain abstraction should be risk abstraction in the sense that we should try to protect the users from those risks. And this can be by limiting some actions on the front end or by introducing some additional entities who would bear the risks instead of the users. And as the last thing, I want to say that we at L2Bit want to, I mean, we believe in transparency, and we also like red warnings. So we introduced this tool called Insight, where you can check all the risks of your portfolio by inputting your address. So in this example, you'd see all the underlying tokens of Ape on Ape chain and all the risks that come from the Canonical breach or Layer 0 or the token itself. And this is mostly targeted towards regular users who want to know how risky the assets they hold are. But if you are a developer and you want to make the best decisions on behalf of your users, you can also find this useful. So make sure to check it out once it's live. Thank you.
Thanks, Radina. All right, we have time for some questions. Who wants to ask one? Raise your hand. Don't be shy, you can do it. If not, I'll ask a question, and I know your questions are better. Yes, amazing. I'll hello you. And catch.
I want to ask, like, for a simple finance product, like a very, very simple one without all the sophisticated stuff, what would you recommend to devs? Obviously, when you're onboarding completely newbie users, you don't want to expose everything. What would you recommend devs do?
Yeah, so I think that if the developers want in some way to onboard users without introducing them to the complexity of the chains and the bridges, so using some kind of chain abstraction, in case they don't want to surface all the risks because it can be overwhelming, they should make sure that they make the best choice for their users. So it can be something like limiting the chains they support based on the risks that they might introduce, or limiting the assets, or maybe doing some kind of summary of the risk, like high, medium, low, and then profiling their users to show the risks depending on their user profile. Thank you.
Cool. We have time for another question. Anyone? Yes, here.
Yeah, another question is that for the, I think the chain abstraction, definitely great user experience, and also you mentioned the risk mitigations as well. But in general, beyond like the insights, what are some of the kind of mechanisms we should you guys put in place to increase the users, like, you know, trust, the confidence of the reliability of the abstraction on that?
So the question is, what procedures should be followed?
Primarily, what other mechanism you put in place to increase the credibility and increase the trust from the user for the account abstraction?
All right, so I think that when implementing chain abstraction and I guess we can use this example with the intent-based protocols. In this case, for example, if the user has to put some trust on this new entity called Solver, we should make sure that it's reliable. So maybe we can do something like decentralized Solver networks. So for every trust assumption that the user should make, we should make sure that this entity is to be trusted and it is decentralized enough.
Cool. And there's time for one more question. Let's see if anyone has it. I think someone has a question. Yes, yes, yes. No. That's okay.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.